Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Before there was IMDb.com, there was Zach and Dustin.
Congrats, you found $2 Late Fee, the best 80s movies podcast in the world.
We revisit our favorite 80s movies.
Sometimes 90s.
And soundtracks from our youth. And then we interview our favorite people who helped make them. All in the spirit of nostalgic positivity.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Don the Dragon Wilson, and you're going to listen to a couple of minutes of me and the other dragon, the lady dragon, Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah, it's Cynthia Rothrock at $2 Late Fee, and you'll hear about an hour of us of telling some stories and having great times, and tune in because it's going to be fun.
And it'll all be the truth.
$2 Late Fee.
Hey, we're here too, by the way, so just check us out. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy.
Oh, we're here too. This is weird. This
sounds like it's our show.
Yeah, it is your show.
This is your show.
We let you guys talk
and give money to Black Creek.
BlackCreekMovie.com.
We are here with Cynthia Rothrock and Don the Dragon Wilson. We're kicking off Martial Art Madness because you guys are here with really big news about Black Creek, your movie.
My birthday's in March, too.
It sure is.
Yeah. Love it.
That is March Madness. There you go.
It is March Madness.
First of all, this is amazing to have you both here together in the studio with us. Don, you joined us last year, and Cynthia, we did it via Zoom, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But this year, you're both together, and Cynthia, you had a project that you... That kind of came together, what, in early February?
Yeah, well, it was a little bit longer than that. We've been working on Black Creek for a long time. But, yeah. You know, after doing about 70 films for everybody else, I finally said, you know what, I want to do my own movie. I want to have the cast I want. I want to be the character I want. I want the director, the lighting to be perfect, the choreography. And, you know, it's a big ordeal. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. And my mom passed away a couple of years ago. And I heard my mom say, do it now or never.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's it. I'm going for it. And it all started with, what kind of movie do you want to do? Western. Okay. Well, what's the plot? And it just went on. Hired a writer. There's three of us that worked on it. Then the script came together. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, I'm going to do Kickstarter fundraiser. And interestingly enough, some of my friends kind of discouraged me because they're like, this particular actor did it and he only made like $32,000. And I was like,
Helpful.
And I just said, And I told people and they go, well, you're not that person. So I just says, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And I'm so excited, you know, to have the people involved like Don, you know, I had the part specifically written for him because I knew he would be in it. And I'm overwhelmed by the success we're having on Kickstarter. We are right now the number one action movie in the history of Kickstarter to be successful.
Yes.
And we still have 17 more days to go.
Yes. And not to interrupt, but the link, just throwing it down there, is in our show notes or live in the YouTube. So everybody, you can donate at any point while we're talking.
Sure. It's blackcreekmovie.com and it goes right to Kickstarter. And we have really, really great incentives for people from getting a digital copy early to actually being in the film and fighting me or fighting Don or Olivier or
Amazing.
Richard Norton. So they will actually can have their dream come true of being in a fight scene with one of us.
That's amazing. So you started writing this a while ago, I imagine, right?
Oh, it's been about a year ago, and it went through a lot of different changes and until everybody was happy with it. And then I sent it to my line producer, and he said, this is like one of the best action scripts I've ever read. And I was like, yeah. And when I sent it to Kevin Sorbo, he went, wow, the opening, jeesh, you know, so it's really gritty. It's dark.
Awesome.
You could see with this movie is the kind of movies I like to see. So that's my vision, you know. So when you see it, you go, oh, okay, she's a little crazy. But very, very dark, very serious. The action is going to be incredible because I won't let anything go by that doesn't look, you know, phenomenal.
I mean, as you should. And when you are in that producer role, the pros and cons of having all the control. So you've already had some perils as far as, right, this process. Obviously, so you raise the money. First off, we should say, you hit your goal and then some.
Yeah, well, we're halfway to the goal I really need to make the movie.
Okay.
But for Kickstarter, if you put your goal on, like completely to do the movie, and you don't reach it, then you don't get anything. So right now, we're about halfway there of what I need. But I've already had 5 different distributors from different countries saying, we want to distribute it.
Awesome.
I've had about 5 people saying, I want to invest in the film. And I said, sure, let's talk after the Kickstarter program and see. So we will definitely have this movie made. But I'm trying to keep the control, you know, because I want this vision to be, this is like my baby, and I want it to be exactly how I see it. And sometimes when you have investors come in, they're like, oh, well, could you have like Joe Schmo in it? Or could you do this? Or could you do that? You know, and I'm a producer. So I just, if I could do this myself, that's my my goal is to 100% own it. So, you know, if you don't like it, you only can blame me about it.
And we will. No. No, that's very exciting. And Don, can you talk about how you got involved with it?
Well, I got involved because Cynthia is my friend. And and I've already called in my favors on her. She's done, like, we've done over 7 movies together.
Yep.
Most of them I asked her as a favor to help me out with the movies. And so she's always said yes. And I'm just saying the same thing she said to me. You know, yes, I'll be whatever you want it.
Yeah, Don actually.
I've got a great character. She did write a great character.
He actually is like, yeah, I don't care whatever it is. I'll do whatever you want. I was like, okay. I'm like, well, read the script, Don. Read the script. He's going, I'm going to do it no matter what. And then it was funny because, you know, a lot of times we get asked to do movies just like cameos so people could use our names. But Don was thinking it was something like that. I was like, no, absolutely not. I said, you are a major character in this film.
Yeah,
and it was
the
written,
difference.
You know, especially
well written for me.
Yeah. I think that's been a big factor with a lot of people who are fans of you guys. They want to see more of you. They want to see you in a feature film with where you're the leads, where you're the stars, and now you're bringing it to us, and we're so excited about it.
Yeah, I don't think Cynthia's fans, because I get the negative result of, I don't know if they write to you, but they write to me, why does she die in all my movies? Like, we did 3 movies, she died, and your the, even Sci-Fighter, your one character died right there. Which was the goddess or something? What were you? Anyway, so she's dying in all my movies, and in one of them, you killed her.
Let's see. Maybe Don doesn't live in this one.
Yeah. She might be killing me in this, but I don't want. We can't give any of the story away though, because we don't want to mess it up. But it was just odd that happened every time we worked together, that she was getting killed off in my movies. But I think the audience is going to like it better that we were together instead of fighting each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And why Kickstarter versus like an Indiegogo or something like that? What was it about Kickstarter where you're like, I'm going to do it on this?
Well, we did a lot of research. And if you look at my campaign, I've had actually a friend that had another campaign going on at the same time.
Okay.
And we just researched what was successful, you know, just to the graphics, to everything like on our campaign we worked on from like probably about 5 months just doing that. And Indiegogo is an easier platform because no matter what you raise, you get to keep. You don't have to reach a goal. And I don't think they take as much as Kickstarter does as a percentage. But Kickstarter is a bigger platform, and you can raise more on that, and it's more known. So I wanted to go with a bigger a bigger platform and just, you know, say, hey, you know, I tried. I put my best effort into this, yep. and let's see if it works. And yes, it's working.
And not only is it working, but like you said, like Dustin, you said you met your goal and then some, and you're going to. I think I'm very hopeful you're going to reach that even higher goal. But your status on Kickstarter is huge now, like top page, A+ rating, like that's unheard of in such a short period of time.
Yeah, after like 2 days, we reached the goal that we put down, and we're like, what do we put down? You know, I didn't want to put down too little. I didn't want to put down too much. Right. So I don't even know where I came up with that first goal. But then we have stretch goals. And basically, the more we come in, 100% of that money is going into the filming. I want to include more days. You know, I want to get a name actor involved in it. You know, so I need more money to pay that. But what do you mean, a name actor?
You guys are the A-name actors.
Well, in the martial art genre, for sure.
Yes, in the martial art genre. But like, you know,
I was just with Michael Madsen last night. He was wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh,
isn't
that funny?
He was wearing a cowboy hat last night.
I've had so many pictures of people with the cowboy hats. Yeah. But when I say A-lister, I'm thinking of someone that has had an Academy Award, Oscar. They won an Oscar. So
okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So
you don't have to disclose it, but do you have someone in mind?
Dustin
already?
Hoffman.
I would love that. But it's not Dustin. No, it's someone else.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you do have someone in mind.
I do.
I had dinner with Dustin Hoffman once. We were sitting together at a wedding, and all he talked about was kickboxing.
Really?
That was all. He just was grilling me. He said, Don, I hope you don't mind me talking about kickboxing. I said, no. He said, but he had never met a kickboxer. Asking me about fighting and what it feels like and, you know, how I got into it.
What it feels
like.
Yeah,
it was fun. Right. It was funny. Well, what it feels like when you win and what it feels like when you lose.
Oh. What about what it feels like when you get hit?
When your eardrum explodes.
Well, I don't get hit. If you get hit,
when
I'm not going to do it.
Someone.
I wouldn't do it if I got hit.
Yeah. You tower over him probably, too.
No, we were sitting down the whole time, but I'm sure he's not known for his action kind of look. You know, well, I don't believe he's ever done an action movie.
Because you didn't teach him that night, probably. Had you given him some instructions?
Well, you don't have to do martial art action, any action. You know, I don't think he does. He just has he been in an action?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. Let's,
well, Marathon let's Man. What about that Marathon Man?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's action somebody tried to thriller. Get him. Yeah.
Is it safe?
Cynthia, you were saying that you like kind of twisted type movies, right? So, what are some movies that you like that are twisted?
Well, I'll tell you what. I watched, I think it's called Hunters with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
That one.
And when I first saw it,
great show.
When I first saw the opening, it blew me away. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
And then Yellowstone, like some of the scenes in that, I was like, oh, I love that. And then I was telling all my friends, you got to see Hunters. And they go, oh, I can't watch it, you know, but I like that kind of shock, surprise, realism. Right.
Get a Cole Hauser in your movie, get a Rip in your film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. There's some like great scenes in there, like, you know, a little bit from The Walking Dead, like some of.
Fantastic.
Yeah, like just that feel. And that's kind of, it's going to be very like, even the lighting is going to be gritty and dark. And that's just what I like to watch, you know? And I wanted the opening scene to be really shocking because that's what keeps my attention is when I'm watching something and I see, even like Yellowstone, right? Like I'm watching the third prequel, I guess it is, you know, and, you know, I'm like, okay. And then they come in the scenes with the nuns and I was like, oh my God. Right. So.
Well, the opening sets the tone for the whole movie.
I believe that.
And
if
you got a
that.
Gritty opening and a good example is if you watch the movie with Jackie Chan, where he went to a drama and his daughter gets killed in the opening scene. Well, once you see that, you know, you're no longer watching a comedy.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny the next 90 minutes if your daughter dies in the opening scene. And the opening scene is to set the tone for the rest of the movie. We all have our own style of fighting. I mean, Jet Li started with the wire work. I didn't like that. I don't want to be in a regular movie and then all of a sudden jump 20 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
Unless it's The Matrix, you know, then that's fine.
That's different, yeah.
But with this movie, you're setting the tone and you're preparing the audience. It's not a comedy. It's not the funny things, acrobatic, where I'm going to do flips and things. It's more gritty and realistic and darker. And I think it's a good direction.
Yeah, and I have some. Yeah. I have some surprises. There's, if you look at the mock poster we have, obviously that's not the one we're going to be using, but that's one we put together for Kickstarter. There's something on that poster that's gonna. One person noticed it, so we'll have to see if anybody noticed. There's something on that that is a clue.
Oh, cool!
And you were not the person that noticed it.
No,
I did not notice it.
Are
you talking about with the gun pointing forward?
No, there's another one.
No, you got to know.
I gotta check the artwork out.
Highlights for kids. You gotta.
There you go. Check that out. See what you see.
Highlights for kids. See what's going on.
I know that some people had already asked you this, but you'll obviously be changing your hair color for the movie.
Right? Yes, I have to because in the 1900s everything has to be realistic. We're doing so much research on costumes. We have the outfits already that we want people to wear, and they didn't have colored hair back then, so I will probably be all blonde in that one.
That was something that was frustrating to me whenever I see a period piece and there's someone in the film that has highlights, and I'm like, you did not have highlights, Chris Pine. You did not have highlights.
Do we know that for sure, though? We didn't live during that time.
I don't know.
A couple of berries.
I guess that
lemon
could
juice.
Lemons, right? Who knows?
I was wondering too. You're it's a Western. Why a Western? What was the spark for that?
I love Westerns. I love the old, like, Clint Eastwood Westerns. And, you know, I've always thought, I'd love to play, like, Annie Oakley or someone like that. I wanted to be in a Western. And that's just what I want to do. And then when I started watching Yellowstone, I was like, Kevin Costner, brilliant, yummy. You know. And then we Googled, like, female gunslingers, and there really aren't any. Like, you know, Selma Hayek comes up or something, or Sharon Stone. But I was like, you know what? I want to be, like, the female gunslinger, you know, that fights as tough as, you know, comes on. So it was something different, something new. And you don't see a lot of action. And we really explain why, you know, there is people know, like, these actions back in that period there. So everything, like I said, you know, we've been doing so much research, so much love has gone into this project.
That's so exciting.
It is. That's really awesome.
I think the women were tough back in those days. But Cynthia's right. In our theater and our storytelling and TV, we have not shown it. A woman that doesn't wait for the husband to come save her.
Right.
You know, right. So, I think it is going to be unique at the very least. Unique.
I have not seen, there's a show that everyone's talking about, The English, on Amazon.
You guys haven't seen that either.
No.
Okay. I can't really comment further, but it is set in that time. But
I always love a good Western, though. Like, and I'm more of a traditionalist in the spaghetti Western sense, or the Sergio Leone, right? The spaghetti Westerns and those grand scopes and stuff like that. But Westerns are hot. Again, Yellowstone is hot. I've just recently started watching it too, and it's fantastic. Yeah. So this is perfect timing.
And there's a lot of, like I just saw last night, we're trying to watch like all the Westerns we could. And there's one, I forget what it's called. It's called Bridgestone or something like
Bridgestone.
That.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to watch that. And I think from traveling all around the world, people love Westerns, like in different countries. Yes. You know, they like action and they like Westerns. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there you go. That's the best combination. Yep. It used to be, you know, I do like horror films too, so I could have went the other direction with horror.
Right.
But maybe that will be down the road in the future.
That'll be the next one.
But I think Western is kind of like the Japanese samurai movies.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A genre.
And
we have expectations. They're heroic people and things. And so I think the Western, it's gone up and down, but it's never gone away. It's always been popular.
And I got to say, Don, I don't have you in a cowboy hat because
please
I remember
don't.
You
There's
telling me.
There's nothing more inappropriate than an Asian wearing a cowboy hat.
He's always told me that.
Yes.
I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips might take exception to that. Young Guns.
Yeah. Well, he's Filipino. But I guess that's the same. Yeah. We're all the same.
No, Don's like, no extensions, no extensions, no cowboy hats, right?
It would be goofy, though. If you want comedy.
No, I would not. I told you, this is dark and gritty and real. Yeah. And yes, I know. Yeah, I could not see you in a cowboy hat.
If you already
I don't think you could act
in
a cowboy hat.
Right.
You would be like, I can't do this.
It would be tough, I'll tell you that. It would be tough because it would be distracting to me.
He's been doing this the whole time. Yeah. Like, the whole scene.
Where's my good angle?
Yeah. All right, Don.
Should I take my sunglasses off for this scene? So. Let's talk about two, because you just got Richard Norton on the project as well, and he's a buddy of yours, and that was exciting. That's really big news.
Yeah, that was so exciting, too. I was glad we caught up in Australia, because I was messaging him. I got a new phone, and it lost a lot of numbers, so I'll just message him on Facebook. That's what we were talking about. And when I got there, it was like, I was like, yeah, Richard, you didn't answer my text. He's going, yeah. I was going, oh, Cynthia's doing a movie, and she didn't call me? You know, so it was kind of a good thing we got together. But I think too, you know, I think other than Don and Richard, you know, both of us, Don and I have done many movies together. Before Don and I did, Richard and I have done a lot together, and we haven't done anything in a long time. So I think the fans are really excited to see Richard and I back together again. And then it's Richard, Don, and I, and then Richard, Don, and I, and, you know, all the other people that's going to come into this film.
If they're martial art action fans, you cannot pass this film up.
Right. And
we're all going to be in there.
Right. A lot of people think, too, you know, remember, Don, we were talking, oh, my gosh, when the Expendables first came out, we were talking about we should all do, you know,
Our version of the Expendables.
Yeah.
Yes. All the martial art action stars together.
But this isn't like this. This is such a different movie. But yet, I'm so excited to utilize, like, all my friends and my peers in the action world, you know, that have done action movies and look great now, and they can still fight really good. And I think it's an inspiration to people to show people, like, look at what we all can do.
Yeah. I hopefully we will inspire people to stay fit and stay in shape and not give up when they hit 60.
Well, we had a guest on last year who spoke a little bit about ageism in Hollywood and how that is an issue. It's a real issue where, you know, why can't you play this certain role, or why, you know, and forget about the fact that you have been in this business for, you know, quite some time, but yeah, you can still go. And you can go really well and better than anybody else, I think, that's out there. And I like the Expendables. I do. I don't get me wrong. But there's like a cliche kind of jokiness quality about it that wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what people are kind of, personally, I think that's what people are hankering for, is more of that gritty realism, more authentic and drama, right?
Yeah.
And so you're bringing that, and that's exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And not only Richard Norton, but Olivier Grunier. Am I saying his last
name?
Grunier.
Correct. Yeah. And then Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Kevin Sorbo. Kevin Sorbo has been working steadily for a long time now, but obviously Hercules is what I think a lot of people remember him from, which is great.
Yeah. And I did an episode of Hercules. So
yeah, that's right.
So, you know, all the people that I'm working with, I have worked with, and they've been just great to work with. And I always thought, you know what, if I ever did my own film, I want to use my friends, especially maybe if they used me in a film prior, you know, because I always about paying back and moving the blessing forward, you know.
I think Michelle Yeoh should be in your film because you guys worked together so far back and here she is, you know, kicking butt, and I'm going to hopefully get an Oscar soon. And you guys did Yes, Madam together.
Yeah, that was, well, that was her third movie, my first movie.
Wow, that's what a trip.
Yeah,
what
that's about like 30 years ago.
And they're still, both of them still around working.
It's kind of perfect timing that this is coming out right now at the time that she's also in the spotlight too. Because people can be reminded of the fact that you guys did this great movie. That still has like a legendary cult status. People love Yes, Madam.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's so exciting now because all those movies are being remastered.
Right.
And they're coming out. Like I just, Yes, Madam just came out in different countries on Blu-ray being remastered. And
you get a new audience, younger audience.
Yeah. And you know
what? People weren't around when we were doing it. You know,
the
18-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Yeah.
And those fight scenes, the fight scenes still hold up today, you know, like it's still, like I still look at them and go, wow, you know.
there's an old documentary on the Righting Wrongs Blu-ray that just came out. Vinegar Syndrome put it out. John Saxon hosted it, and it's got like legendary fight scenes from Righting Wrongs, Yes, Madam, countless films, right? And it's so great. I showed it to my son, and he was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, he got more excited watching that than he does watching like current WWE or current action movies and stuff like that. He wanted to watch more and more.
I don't think I've seen that one. Did it just come out?
So the Righting Wrongs Blu-ray that just came out.
Oh, it's on there.
There's an extra disc because there's three discs.
Yeah, I think I did. Thing. I did an interview for
you
that.
You did. Yeah. And there's a documentary from, I guess, the mid to late 80s on there. So there's clips from China O'Brien.
Well, you know, there was no CGI back in those days.
Nope.
Everything you see is Cynthia Rothrock doing live action. So today you can just CGI. You can create a Keanu Reeves, and he has nothing to do with it. It's just
in John Wick.
Computerized,
yep.
Looks just like him.
Yep.
And I think they did that in one of the Matrixes where there were like multiple Keanu Reeves fighting.
Yeah, they did.
And there's masks, you know. I mean, this is a long time ago. I remember I was on the set of one of Arnold's films, you know, and they had a prosthetic mask that looked exactly like him. And we're talking now probably
90s,
30 right? years ago, yeah, I think it was, you 90s. Know. It, and I thought that was him riding through the hotel, like through the fountains on a horse. And I was
True
like,
Lies.
Oh, that's right. That was not
yeah,
him. Yeah,
True Lies, right? Yeah. I saw that. And like even now, just think, I mean, they don't even have to do that. They could just digitally
Right. They just
do
put
it.
The face in later.
But you know what? I think like, you know, seeing this movie here, it's real action. It's it's not doubles. It's us really doing like some incredible stuff.
Speaking of that, how much horseback riding am I doing in this film? Because I'm not the best rider, but
no hats, no horses.
If I need
what
to,
else?
I will get on those horses and I'll get them to go. I'll get them to go.
Look, Cynthia, if I need to, I'll wear a mask that looks like Don.
Yes, be my stunt double. Thank you.
And then we'll stick a cowboy hat on it.
Yes. Right.
Don will see the movie and go, what?
What?
Cowboy hat.
No, but it wasn't me wearing it, so I'm okay with that. You guys have done 7 films together, right?
Yeah.
What was the first movie that you, or how did you meet? How did the two of you kind of come together?
I recall really meeting you in England.
Yes.
At an event.
Was it the one where I first found out you did Pilum?
Maybe
you did the Tiger Claw form.
I may have done something
because
that had
been
a long time ago for me to do a form at an event. But I was at a, I believe, an event, and we've got a lot of coincidences. I can't even go into them because they're so unbelievable. To this day, I don't think my wife actually believes it was a coincidence.
Here's your opportunity to prove her wrong.
I'm driving in Beverly Hills because I have an apartment there. I don't think I had a house, but. And I see Cynthia Rothrock, and I said, oh, Cynthia, hi. And I said, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, I live on the street. We lived in the same street, Oakhurst.
What?
In Beverly Hills.
What?
Now, years later, luckily, my wife picked the house up. I'm delivering my child to the school, and I see Cynthia in the parking lot. I said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I live right up the street,
no
the street from
way.
Me.
What?
So in LA, it's a pretty big area.
And our kids were in the same school.
And they're in the same school. And we live right off the same street, Topanga Canyon. Uh-huh. And the thing is, we end up with the same agent without realizing it. No, that's a pretty big coincidence. We study the same style of Kung Fu.
Yeah, Pilum Kung Fu.
Pilum, which is very small style.
Hardly anybody hears about it. It's such an obscure style.
First of all, the master was from New England area, more your area, but I'm from Florida. He just decided in a crazy thing to spread his style to Florida. And to have the same agent.
Right.
That's in wild. Hollywood.
Both world champions,
known in the martial art community as competitors before we did the movies. And it's nothing against the other actors that do star movies, but if they didn't do movies, we wouldn't know their names. If Van Damme had never done a movie, what did he accomplish in the martial art competitions?
Right.
Or Seagal. He had a school in West Hollywood, but how many guys have karate schools?
I'm wondering if the people from Cobra Kai knew about your kids going to the same school, because that's kind of one of the plot points in Cobra Kai is that, you know, Johnny's son goes to the same school as Daniel's kid.
I didn't know. I haven't watched it, but...
I don't know. Maybe something's going on there. Cobra Kai.
Well, I've watched it. Well, you know, I was mentioned on that show.
I know. And I was how long before they put you guys in the show?
I know. Well, I've kind of talked a little bit to the producer.
Good.
Said, you know, I would love to be on that. There's one more season, 6, so I don't
know.
Doing I don't
spin-offs
think they
have. Well.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, I would love to. I am a big fan of the show, you know. So you never know.
It's a hot time in martial arts. Westerns are back. Martial art movies are coming back. You know.
Yeah, and
like
I think you know, for me, I've gotten like 4 scripts like in the last since my Kickstarter program,
great.
And I think it's a blessing for me too, because I think people realize, wow, there are fans out there that really want to see her in films. And you know, it's not easy to raise money on Kickstarter. Like so many fail.
No, 80,000 other projects.
I think it's 3%.
Right. You're right.
3% people really are successful on that.
People are smart about where they want to put their money, right?
Yeah.
And they want to put their money in something that's going to win, right?
Yes,
versus
exactly.
Something that is a pipe dream, and that's fine. Smaller things tend to get funded fairly easily because it doesn't take that much. But this is a big, big deal,
yeah.
right, to put out a feature film.
Yes.
And the fact that it only took 2 or 3 days for you to reach your initial goal is a huge deal. I was so excited when I saw that happen. I was like, well, I guess we don't really need to promote anymore, do we? Because you already hit your goal.
It means she went lowball.
Yeah. Well, you did. See, that's the thing. A lot of people think, oh, you've reached your goal. Like, I'm like, yeah, but that was just the Kickstarter goal. You know,
right.
really, you know, the more we get, the better the film's going to be.
Only
the,
better.
You know?
Yeah.
And my biggest thing is to add 3 more days of shooting.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of times, Don, you know, when we're doing movies, you know,
you need
like,
days
things
of pickups.
Go longer, they go pickups. Longer, and then they'll get to the fight scene and go, oh, yeah, you have 20 minutes, you have 45 yeah. minutes. Well, that's not going to happen with this because to me, the fight scenes in this are just as integral as the acting.
Of course.
So everything's got to have enough time. You know, so it, yeah. So
I like the idea that you're going more gritty and realistic because I always felt that was the best way for me, being that I was a real fighter, is to not do the comedic, over the top things that look good on film but are totally impractical.
Same.
You know, I like more like Denzel Washington, his stuff that he does on Equalizer. And,
I'm thinking about
Jack Reacher. You know,
Jack Reacher.
Tom Cruise does kind of more realistic.
Yep.
He breaks a guy's leg in a street fight and stuff.
John Wick, you know, perhaps.
Well, John Wick might go over a little over the top, but still, that's still in reality. It's a little reality based. But you know, I know there's a place for things like The Matrix, though, because I love The Matrix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. They were flying on top of the treetops and stuff. Well, I don't do that in my movies.
Yeah.
I don't do the flying and the somersaults and all that. And while it looks good, it's not my type of fight scene.
Yeah, it's not your forte. Yeah.
Right, sure.
Yeah, and see, I love that. I love that kind of because I, you know, started in Hong Kong, so I love the Hong Kong flair.
It looks
so
beautiful.
This is going to have like a little bit, not too much. It's going to be more gritty, but what I'm really working with the choreographers is things that you really haven't seen before. How could we make this look different, that it doesn't look like every other martial art film, the same kick, the same punch, you know? So really, that's a big integral part on my foresight of this film is to have the action really strong, really gritty, shocking, but different. You know, so it's a big task to do, but, you know, I've been thinking about it for, like, I've been in martial arts for, what, 49 years this year. So
love it.
It's about, you
when
know.
You were born.
She started.
Yeah, I started when I was one.
She was one.
I think that they need to change the Chuck Norris facts to Cynthia Rothrock facts. When Cynthia Rothrock was born, the nurse did not spank her. She spanked the nurse, or she roundhouse kicked the nurse, or something like that. I don't know. We could just
You want to hear a funny story? When my mom was pregnant with me, she was carrying like a bowl of eggs, and I did a kick. I kicked her stomach, and she dropped all the eggs. And then my dad was trying to get to her with these slimy eggs all over the floor. So that was my very first kick before I was even
when you're in your mom's belly.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's destiny.
And it connected. Perfect. and you hate eggs ever since, right?
I can eat an egg, but not egg salad.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
I would say just by the mere fact that you have the Western, you know, environment already. You've got horses, you've got six shooter. You have a lot of elements that people haven't seen when it comes to martial arts, I would say in general. So you have a lot of room to play.
Yeah, and want to shoot in Tucson, old Tucson.
I was just going to ask
and
you.
And they have a town there that not only has the buildings, but the interiors, the corral.
Nice.
Is that the one that Alexander used?
Yes.
Is that,
same town. Nice. I mean, there's a couple.
There's
a couple different places I could look at, but that's what I'm looking at, where we don't have to move location. We can just pretty much film all in
one
place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any business on the air, but there's a guy who's...
But I will.
Who wanted his... He wanted you to film at his place, his location. Has he contacted you?
You know what? A lot of people are supporting me and saying, hey, I have this ranch.
He wants to shoot Westerns.
Well,
no, this is professional sets. It's like the thing in Arizona.
Cowboy hats.
It's like that. They have their own sets.
Wait,
and things.
You know what? I'm waiting till the 13th before I make any decisions and see how much I can pull in, and then from there goes into Plan B, how we're going to go. And it's just phenomenal for me that all this is coming to me. I have a lot of music people too say, hey, I want to do the music and I'll do it for free because we want to be involved in this.
Of course,
it's good.
That's
you know,
nice.
It's like everything is just falling right into place. So it's a destiny to me. It's like, yes, now I know, yes, this movie is going to happen and it's supposed to happen and it's the right timing.
And some of your backers, are able to be in the film as well.
Oh, yeah. Right? We have, that's, you exciting. Know, we sold out right away of people to fight in the scene. So then when we got a little more
you're
money
brave.
Coming in, I put in a new scene. So we have great. Another fight scene. So we have... The good thing about it is I think we have only like three more spots for fighters. And that, of course, that's our big ticket item.
Of course, yeah.
And we only have one more spot for an acting role. But we're going to take a couple days and just myself and the choreographers are going to work with these people to make sure a lot of them are black belts that I saw. So that's like really cool. A couple people, two people are coming from Australia. So it's okay. You know, worldwide they're coming. But we're going to make sure that, you know, their choreography, they're going to look good, you know, so and that they're going to be happy and we're going to be happy. So and they're comfortable on the set of doing what they got to do. So
that's
it's
great.
Exciting. Like when I hear people say, you know, this has been my dream, my lifetime dream is to be in a movie with you. And, you know, that doesn't happen.
That's,
it's not easy. And, it,
no.
and you know, what is the percentage? I don't even know. It's like a 1% that this could happen. For
it
people,
never happens.
You know, and just to
new.
Be, you know, to be with this cast that I have, like if you're a martial art, you know, enthusiast, I mean, you're with your dream cast here, the dream people.
I'm wondering, too, about it, how many people who are in this film have the opportunity to get discovered because they might not have had a chance to be on film before. And then they'll be in this movie. And the next thing you know, they'll go, oh, I want that guy who was in Black Creek, or I want that woman who, she was such a kick-ass actor, you know?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, look at Don does films, Richard does films, Olivier does films, you know? They could see someone here and go, wow, they're really great. And that's where you meet connections. And then like if Don has
I've started
someone,
a lot of careers that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have.
A lot of careers. Billy Blank's first movie he was in, it was Blood Fist.
Mine.
Yeah.
And he looked great in it. He did. And he used that to get his own starring
role. I think
roles,
he
right?
was in China O'Brien before that. China O'Brien 2.
Oh,
what year
was
Blood Fist?
China O'Brien 2.
This was 88. In 88, he was
China
in Blood
O'Brien
Fist.
Was,
same year.
Was,
same year. Shot
86.
In
we shot China O'Brien 86.
Scandal.
So,
he was before that.
Yeah.
Cynthia started his career.
True. Well, I didn't see it. I cast him just because it was Billy Blanks.
Right.
I wanted real martial artists in my movie. And he was in the Philippines at the time, and so Roger Corman didn't have to pay for an airline ticket for him, and he was doing a fitness thing. He was the fitness trainer of Catherine Bach and Sam Jones. He was not
acting. Trying to get a hold of Catherine for her to play
Catherine
a cameo.
Bach?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Would Billy Blanks would be the guy?
Hazard. Yeah.
He's the trainer.
So, Catherine, if you're out there,
hey,
I'm
do you have a role for
right?
Billy Blanks? Because Billy Blanks is I told him, hey, we got to have a rematch after Bloodfist. He goes, oh, I'm ready to go, Don. Just let me know any movie you want.
Okay.
So Billy's open to doing movies.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the incentives that we have is that we're going to have a virtual training, you know, where people can go online and train with Don, me, and it could be Billy,
that's
could
exciting.
Be Olivia, it could be Richard, it could be all of us, you know. I keep adding more things. So as people, you know, donate, I say, okay, now we're going to add this into the DVD cover. Now we're going to add this T-shirt. Now we're going to add, you know, we just keep adding. I just want to keep giving back. And I just can't tell you how happy I am that people are supporting me. And the interesting thing is, it's very strange, is that I could see who donates, right? And thank you so much for donating.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And it's most of the people I don't know. So it's fans out there. You know,
my
personal
fans.
Close friends really have it, you know, and you don't want to ask people, you know, I really like, this is like really hard for me is getting up there every day and pushing it.
Yes.
But I know that that's what you need to do to have a successful campaign.
That's our job.
It's, you know, it's surprising. It's like, you know, I've actually did a seminar for someone free, you know, and I always charge those. And I said, okay, just donate to my campaign. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, you know, it's up to you, but I'll do the seminar for free. I've asked them four times, hey, you're going to pledge? And nothing.
Uh-oh.
You know, and it's like, I know.
Who is it?
It's
we'll
like,
call them out. Now we'll dox them.
No, I won't do that. But you know, it's like you think about like all the favors, like Don, you know, all the favors we've done for people, like getting them, you know, into Hall of Fames, into the Martial Art History Museum. You know, free seminars, free pictures, doing all this that, you know, and I don't even care. I tell people, you know what? You gave me a dollar. That means a lot to me that you're supporting me. It's not about the money. It's just the thought that you believe
absolutely.
In me. You believe in my
number
project.
Of backers.
And,
the number of backers.
Yeah, I'm going to do something really nice for all the backers, whether it's $1 or it's the highest ticket, you know, because I just, I really appreciate those that that are supporting me. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, it's nice to know. I believe that, you know, good things should happen to good people. And I'm a firm believer in that. Doesn't always happen.
I was going to say that right. A lot of bad people have great things happen to them all the time.
Yep. And I,
it's almost convinced me to start going bad.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Right now, man. Don, let's go bad.
Exactly. That's such a jerk. Look at his
today.
Career.
Right? And I got to say, as someone who has a young child and you're always trying to be the positive role model to them and instill that positivity and say, look, you might have had a bad day, but things are going to get better. But it's nice to see the good guys winning, you know, and it's nice to see that your project is like not only going to get made, but it's going to flourish.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And I was wondering, you know, the last time we saw you guys together was at a screening of New York Ninja at the Aero Theater in Santa Monica.
Right.
And I was thinking, oh, maybe you can find John Liu if he's, I'm joking, of course. but you know, the fact that a new audience got to at least hear you guys,
yeah.
You know, and then you both came on the show and we talked a little bit about New York Ninja when we had you on, but it's nice that a newer audience is now going, oh, they'll see you on IMDb because you're listed on there. I'll click on that person's movie. You know, New York Ninja is such a campy, silly film, but it also brings in a new audience like we talked about. And so you're getting this resurrection of like, oh, I never saw Writing Wrong. Oh, I never saw Blood Fist. Six, you know, and now people are wanting to watch these films. You do a really good job on your social media as far as promoting your movies.
Well,
you are out there
Tubby
for free.
Tubby TV or Tubi.
Tubi,
what is it?
Yeah.
Tubi.
Tubi.
I like Tubi better.
Tubi is great.
They're picking out Tubi. I thought it was Tubi.
Why not?
Tubi.
Tubi.
But,
yeah, Tubi.
Yeah, like
T-U-B-I.
Tube, like watching the tube. But yeah. It's you opened it up to a new audience because it's really good quality. Tubi. Tubi.
Yes, Tubi.
Yeah, not Tubby.
It's all good.
Tubi or not Tubi,
but they, Tubby
tomato,
is like
tomato, tomato.
No, Tubby is an overweight guy, right?
No, Tubby was the name of a sandwich shop in Michigan that I used to go to.
Oh, I thought it meant you're fat.
Well,
you're fat.
It
tubby.
Is.
He's
it
a
is.
Tubby.
The guy had a big sandwich. He was a larger guy.
Or
you
like
know.
To take a bath in a tub.
Anyways,
yeah, well,
sorry, didn't mean
tub-alicious.
To derail you.
I don't know what's happening, but I
Tubi.
Love it.
Tubi.
Tubi, like the tube.
Sandwich
like
shop,
TV,
fat
the
guy.
Yes.
Oh, that's okay. You know, like when we travel, right? I always try to get Don to do something adventurous. So we're in Papua New Guinea and I finally get him to do something. And the most adventurous thing I could have him do is go to a zoo. So
hey,
we were in there
okay.
And he goes, is that a kangaroo? So Don, I saw a kangaroo in Australia and I thought of you.
That is amazing.
Is
I love it. I love
Krangaroo
it.
Krangaroo is like a good
Don said, that's a Krangaroo. on Tubi.
Are your films on Tubi?
Yes. There's several of them.
Great.
Martial Art
them.
Kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just came on.
Which one?
Martial Art Kid, right?
Yeah, that one. But,
yeah, because that's...
Guy, you know, all the producers, their movies get bought by other people or whatever. They are all going to be doing it now. It's going to just grow.
Yeah.
And I must have, I don't know, 15, 20 movies on...
Well,
yeah,
then,
yeah.
And then you had Black Belt and Blood Fist were just released on Blu-ray via Shout Factory. You know, very like, you can only get them from their site specifically, but it's nice to see like Vinegar Syndrome putting out your Ring of Fire. Or sorry, not Ring of Fire, but Whatever It Takes.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
Vinegar Syndrome.
This is one of the ones I liked. I liked the script. My good friend wrote it.
Red Sun Rising is another one they just put out.
And that's
for
one
you.
Of my favorite movies as yep. well. James Liu did it. You know, he steals the show, but you need a great bad guy, right? It doesn't help just to beat up stunt people.
James Liu was fantastic in that. He's a great...
He was phenomenal. I mean, you know, and then he took a dive at the end of it. I win.
Of course.
And then I get the girl at the end of the movie.
Of course.
And then, yeah, it's a happy ending.
Uh-oh.
Cynthia, not that kind of podcast.
Cynthia's like, rewrite. Well, maybe it is that kind of podcast. No, so it must be fantastic, though, to see new fans kind of revisit your films, right?
Yeah, it's very exciting because, you know, especially like these Hong Kong movies, they weren't released over here, you know, so only like Europe or Asia, they were popular. So now it's
they're
exciting.
They're like brand new movies
now.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Righting wrongs.
Luckily, Zach brought every movie he owns.
Tiger Claws.
In his backpack.
Sworn to Justice.
In a city torn by violence, a crime comes too close to home.
They murdered my sister and my nephew.
We're going to nail these animals.
Your Honor, motion to strike.
And when justice fails.
Warning a little perjury, are we?
With no one.
Good way to get yourself hurt.
I'm desperate. I'll try anything.
To trust. Psychologist Jana Dane is forced.
I help defend people. That's my job.
To take justice into her own hands.
Got a renegade on the street.
No badge. No rules. No mercy. Revenge has never been so sweet. Tony Lobianco. Academy Award nominee, Mako. Kurt McKinney, No Retreat, No Surrender. Brad Dourif, Lord of the Rings. Walter Koenig, Star Trek. And Cynthia Rothrock, the reigning queen of martial arts. Sworn to Justice.
Sworn to Krangaroo.
Nice alum of Kurt McKinney. Yeah. You know, that most people might have forgotten from, of course, No Retreat, No Surrender, but that's one of your favorite films that you did, right?
It is. It's one of my favorite American films, is Sworn to Justice.
Why? Yeah. Why is that?
You know, because there was a lot more. Paul Maslach, who was the director, put a lot of thought and effort into it, like kind of like how I foresee in my film, like how what the character looks like, it's what the script is. I like that because it wasn't like, oh, here I am, the girl next door that's going to come in, save the day, or the guy's going to come in. You know, it was a very strong, professional woman, really taking care of herself, you know. So
And a great cast.
Great cast, yeah.
Brad Dourif's in that, right?
Well, that could be someone I'm thinking about that we mentioned before.
not to spoil anything, but potentially.
Since you brought his name up, I love Brad. It was so great working with him. He's such a professional, and I'm just a big fan of his work too.
He's a legendary character actor, and I hold character actors in a very high echelon. I think to you know, you never forget their performances in a film.
Exactly. You know, it's like
whether it's 5 minutes or 2 hours.
Yeah. Like, you know, like just, I think that's what a really good part is, you know, is that you could go away from that movie and say, oh, I remember that character.
Yeah. And Sworn to Justice is one of those, again, you get to revisit these films that you maybe haven't seen in a while. And these films have their flaws. They have their moments where you're like, oh, that was a little rough. But overall, it's such a nostalgic time. And that's what we talk about on our show always, is the nostalgia pushes over those speed bumps of like, oh, yeah, that was, you know, we cut that scene out or whatever. But we love these movies. They're so much fun.
Wasn't Brad in Deadwood, too?
He was.
Yeah.
Western awesomeness right
there. Yeah, he's got that look.
Captures that. Yes.
Not to leave you hanging, too, Don. I have your films here as well. And, you know, Red Sun Rising, the beautiful Red Sun Rising.
200-pound backpack today.
I brought in everything.
Yeah, that's the new artwork.
Yeah.
What was your favorite film that you've done?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Of your movies.
I used to say Lion Strike because Jonathan was in it, my son, when he was 5 years old.
Oh.
Fun. And he was a better actor than me at five than I am right now. But
no, not true.
In overall movies, it's
will he wear a cowboy hat? That's all we need to know.
That's a dad comment.
It's probably Red Sun Rising, probably overall.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah.
Great cast, too. Michael Ironside.
Yeah, they all did a great job.
There is nothing you can do.
In Tokyo, Detective Thomas Hoshino thinks his problem is weapons and gangs. In Los Angeles, Detective Karen Ryder thinks her problem is weapons and gangs. They have the same problem, but it's not what they think. Cooperation is their only chance to understand. Red Sun Rising.
Speak English? English?
But I speak it reasonably well.
Stay on him.
Oh, Captain, you're going to have to get someone who gets along with Japs.
Joining East and West is easier said than done.
Is this the part where we cut our stomachs open?
Excuse me, but Joho is not a name. It's a kind of ninja black magic.
You don't mind if we stick to the 20th century, do you?
This sucker's dead. So this character can resurrect people, bring them back to life?
Yamata's death was not a reality.
Your assassin is a master of the death touch.
I always thought that was just a myth.
This is nuts.
First your prisoner dies, then he escapes. Back in Japan, they call him Akita. You know what that is? A Japanese dog dies head first into everything. Never knows when to back off.
Look, what happened last night was gang-related, Captain.
They're on different paths to the same destination. She's looking for the truth. He's looking for the truth behind the truth. It's a destiny they can't stop.
Time changes all the rules.
When night meets day, only one can survive. Red Sun Rising.
Yeah, they all did great and were perfect for the roles, Terry Farrell and I. You know, I don't think I've ever revealed what was going on. We really actually didn't get along on the set.
You and Terry.
Terry. But there was a reason for that. The very first day of filming, she says to me, oh, we have a mutual friend, Don. And I go, really? Really? Who's that? And she goes, Mickey Rourke. And I said, oh.
Oh, boy.
And I said, yeah, me and Mickey dated a couple of waitresses over at Mirabelle's. She goes, what year is that? And I said, I believe I said, like a knucklehead, I said 86 or 85. And she looked at me and a smile got off her face and she goes, that's when he was living with me.
Oh.
And she stormed off.
Oh.
And from that day on, we did not get along.
Wow.
Then on our, we didn't fight on the sets, but it was just
cold.
Amazing.
It was, Cynthia, you know me. I'm the last guy to do something like this. I had to have the talk with her. So I call her into my trailer to have the talk.
The birds and bees and like.
Forgetting that she's an actress.
The
forgetting she's an actress. I'm going to lay down the law and I'm going to tell her how it's going to be in it. Because nobody wanted to cast her in the movie because she, not because of her acting. Mm-hmm. She was too tall, they thought.
Okay.
It's going to make you look short. You're already Asian, right? And you have a leading lady that if she puts heels on, she's a foot taller than me.
Yeah.
Terry Farrell's very tall. You know, yeah, she was a
she
model,
yep.
You know, yeah. So she was tall. And I said, no, she's the right one for this job. And so the director didn't want her. Paul Maslach didn't want her. And I cast her over both of them. The producer and the, you know, I laid down, I told him, no, I'm not taking any of those other girls that you read. I said, they're good actresses, but she's right for this role. So I told her that. I said, I fought for you to get this role. Mm-hmm. And she was being disrespectful to me. And she started tearing up and she got all upset and said it was the director's fault. And what ended up happening was I ended up apologizing to her as she's going out the door of my trailer. I said, oh, I'm sorry I upset you.
She turned you.
And then I started thinking, wait a minute now.
Wait a minute.
Terry is an actress.
Yeah.
She might have just said, oh, I got to drum up these tears and this, and then I'll get Don to apologize to me, which she got.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. So, yeah, I really showed her, Cynthia. I showed her. I laid down the law that
Don,
I needed for her to be respectful on the set.
She's got some harsh dialogue that she delivers to you in that film, Red Sun Rising.
Yes.
There's
some really
harsh dialogue.
You know what? The truth is,
dialogue.
I didn't talk to her about her performance, but we were not supposed to get along in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And she might have been doing an acting thing for me. You know, actors play little games, like not getting along with me because her character in this upcoming scene.
Yeah,
I didn't think of it that way, though. You know, I just,
of course.
Me, when they say cut, that I'm not in character.
No,
I don't walk around the set as the character because I've played some weird characters. I've played robots before and all kinds of weird things.
Yep.
And I'm not going to sit around eating my lunch acting like a robot. You know,
plug yourself into the wall. What are you doing?
Hold on, my input.
I just mean, you know, look, we're not doing Hamlet. We're doing martial art action movies, and I don't stay in character. But anyway, maybe I think back now, I've never talked to her about it since then. I don't, in fact, when you work with somebody, you get close. But the only actress that I've kept relationships before I worked with her and after is Cynthia.
Yeah.
We're just friends. Apart from movies. Just
well, you kept moving to the same neighborhood accidentally.
Accidentally, quote unquote.
Yeah. And plus, you know, we go to a lot of events
together,
too.
Events.
We do a lot of martial arts.
A lot of traveling.
Together.
So we're friends apart from the actual filming.
Yeah.
But haven't you got great relationships with a guy while you're filming, and then you just hardly never see the guy again?
Happens
or girl.
All the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes,
or girl.
Yeah. You're, right? Like you're really close.
All
and
actors go through that, yeah.
Well, and speaking of which, relationship-wise, because I think we talked a little bit about Chyna O'Brien could potentially be remade or a series or whatever, but it's still being kind of held up, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, when we were talking about platforms, another platform that's really good for people to see martial art movies is Jungle Plus. They could see them for
that's
free
right.
on that.
Yeah.
And I've been talking
Black
to
Belt Cinema.
CEO George Chung, and he wants to redo China O'Brien 3. So we're
great.
Looking into getting the rights. It's not that easy. They don't want to like give them up, but we're still working on it because we think, again, my vision, if it China O'Brien comes, like that was our first film, you know, we really didn't know anything about acting, but now you could go, what, 30 years later, you know, she's back and it's darker and gritty, you know, and that kind of, you know, that kind of movie would be different. But yet there's so many fans all over the world that love that movie and that character. And I think it's brought a lot of people into martial arts because that's one of the first, you know, action pictures, especially with a woman that,
totally.
That they've seen, you know, or like
the Chinese were doing it way before Americans. Like today, a woman is an action star is not out of place. What was the female action star that made the, you know, the comic book character, what was her name? But she starred in one of those comic book movies, and it was a humongous success. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Wonder Woman? Or
Wonder Woman, she got the whip or whatever.
Yep.
That broke down all the doors then. They could see a woman could be just as big as Spider-Man, Thor, Iron Man. A woman action star.
Well, I think it's important, too, that, you know, oftentimes, because we're in such a short-sighted historical perspective generation now, where everything has to be 5 seconds or less, right, to remind people that there was something before this thing, right? Mm-hmm. There was something before Wonder Woman. There was something before Black Widow. There was something, you know, and I think China O'Brien is a perfect example of that. And I think you should do the trailer for China O'Brien Part 3.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think you should because...
There are certain places in this world where a pretty woman should never walk alone. Unless her name is China O'Brien.
There are some places in this world...
I can't see you back there.
Where a pretty girl should never walk alone.
But I can feel you.
Unless her name is China O'Brien. Once, she was a big city cop. Now, she's on her own. Heading for the most dangerous place of all. The place she once called home.
China!
Dad!
Some changes around town since you've gone, China.
I'll never touch a gun again.
Will she learn to love? Will she learn to fight? Will she watch them kill her father? No. She means to clean up his town in her own way. With a little help from her friends. She's out to stop crime. Cold. And teach the killers a lesson they'll never forget. She's one girl who fights. As good as she looks. Cynthia Rothrock is China O'Brien.
And Don can be the villain. You could play the villain.
I like being the bad guy. Anything different in the film business. Don't you find that, you know, I didn't do family films for most of my career or comedies. And it's kind of fun doing something different. Not being the lead good guy, beating up the bad guys day after day after day throughout the whole movie. And then going on to another movie that's got the similar plot. I like different things.
You'll be different in Black Creek.
I can't
wait.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the advantages is. I've only done one Western before that, and that was just a really short thing.
Right.
But this is an actual character. So,
We should remind everybody, you can be a part of the movie. You can be in the movie. There's actually a ton of tiers, a ton of benefits that you offer. But everybody should, you know, if you feel compelled to do that, you should go do that at any point. But now...
And I think, too, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, we'll wait till the end. But the more they do it, it keeps us in the tumbler of Kickstarter.
Right.
Like right now, we're number one on their page for all movies, right? But then you lose a few, you know, the people don't back in, and then they go, okay, then you go down. So even if it's like so little, the more backers you have, it keeps you on that front page of Kickstarter.
Keeps the engagement.
Make it happen.
Exactly, exactly.
So there is an artist named Martin Goh. He has a company called Preserve Dragons, and he makes T-shirts. I'm wearing one of the T-shirts right now that he made with Cynthia Rothrock, of course, in all her glory. And he actually made both of you T-shirts. He made
one.
Yeah, well, no, he made another one as well. One from a movie called Ring of Fire. He made this amazing card.
Wow.
It's the masquerade ball in Ring of Fire. He recreated the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are you? Where are you?
I'm the guy in the middle. I'm like, I got a hat.
Oh, it looks like Zorro, kind of. Yeah.
Well,
hey,
it was kind of like that.
You can't wear a cowboy hat.
So it is a card that opens up. He's a tremendous artist, and he typically focuses on T-shirts and stickers, but he made a card for you as well. He reproduced this card for you, and he's got T-shirts for both of you as well. And links to his page will be in our show notes when this airs on the normal feed, the audio feed. But go to Preserve Dragons. The T-shirts, you'll see pictures on our Instagram and social media.
Yeah, you'll see me with that one. I love it. I saw it this morning when you posted it, and I was like, I want some of those.
I'm telling you, you can see the sticker down here in front. It is a great time. Your hair looks fantastic in that as well. I think from what is that? Is that 1984?
That is 1985. Yes, Madam.
Wow, what a time. Yeah, go to Preserve Dragons. And because you were on our show and we talked about this. We talked about the axe. Was it Yes, Madam, where the axe came down on your head, or the scene you were shooting?
Down on my head.
Like a weapon came down and hit you in the head.
I got hit in the nose with a sword.
Yeah. Was it for Yes, Madam?
Yeah, it was in Yes, Madam when we were doing the group. I was fighting like 8 different people, and I turned around and the guy hit me right in the nose with the sword. Yeah.
Oof.
That was like an axe in the head.
You know how these stories, they take a mind.
Didn't you die on that movie? And we're like, what? What do you mean?
Well, the axe in the head would have been it.
That'll be for Black Creek. Yeah. Axe in the head of some villain. Yeah. You know?
But this will build a good rumor mill for Black Creek. So all the crazy stories.
Yeah, axe in the head.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
What a time. you're like, what a time. What a time. Just, oh, wow.
But sincerely, we want to thank you guys for coming on our show.
Yes.
And just being a part of this fun. You're kicking off our fun month, Martial Art Madness, and your birthday month.
Yeah.
And Black Creek has a little bit more time. So get in there now before it's too late. Because once it's done. Because Kickstarter, once it's over, that's it.
Yeah. Like, I have a lot of people messaging me, can I do this privately or with them? I says, no, just go to Kickstarter, and it's till the 13th. And then we start going into pre-production.
And Don, what's the name of the Western that you did last year? It was last year, right?
Or Escape from Rio Bravo.
Escape from Rio Bravo.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia was in it as well.
Okay. Yeah, I did. No, I wasn't in that. No, that was the...
You didn't.
And then there was Return to Rio Bravo. There was two of them. You were in both of them, I think, weren't
no,
you?
No, no, no. I was only in the last one.
Oh, okay.
We were
I
in
think
the
it's
last
called
one.
Return. Yeah, that's not out yet. Well, we did a very one-day cameo.
Well, it may have gone some name changes, because movies do until the actual release date.
Right.
But, but I know it as Escape from Rio Bravo.
Oh, yeah, because he has Rio Bravo out now.
It's the first one, the first one is released.
Yeah.
And the second one's still in post. Yeah, I haven't even seen it.
Yeah, no,
I don't think they have it a screening yet.
So you're gonna be in the sequel then, and
I'm the sequel to the Rio Bravo, the first one.
And you are as well, something.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you will. Okay.
You know what? I got killed in that one too. As a matter of fact, I got shot by one of the bad guys.
Because we were just there. We were just there for one day of shooting.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, but I don't want to see you guys get shot anymore. I want to see you win.
Well, for some reason, that's what they like. They like getting a known actor.
Nope.
And he's in it, and he gets... Well, yeah. It's like they did it. The first time it happened with the A-list was Drew Barrymore was in
Scream.
Alfred Hitchcock did it in...
Well, of course.
She had one of the top actresses of her day.
Psycho, right?
She was a star, and I don't know remember her
Janet
name.
Leigh.
And then she killed her in the first scene.
Yeah.
And that was shocking to everybody.
Yeah.
And, yeah. and Drew Barrymore did it again
for Scream.
Do you know
Scream.
What I remember was Live and Die in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
Remember in the, you
William
think it's
Peterson?
all he
oh,
went through,
love that
and
movie.
Then in the end, he gets shot
gets
in the
blasted
eye.
Blasted in the face.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was like, oh, my God. It was like you hated it. You
saw
didn't
that,
want him to die.
Who was the actor?
I loved it.
William Peterson.
William Peterson, yeah.
Yep.
CSI. William Peterson from CSI, Manhunter, I love him in Manhunter.
He got killed in the opening?
No, at the end. No. After he went through all these trials and tribulations.
Different. I thought you meant he got killed in the opening.
Right.
Oh, no.
I'm not like that.
Producers don't like to kill us off, though, because they think sequel.
Well, but
that's right. I had a script where I died at the end of it, and I had to die. I said, no, the whole point is this character does what he does, and then he dies. And the guy said, nobody would produce it because I was wanting to kill him off at the end, and then no sequel.
Yeah.
Prequel, though. That's how they get away with it. They do the prequel.
Well, maybe
yeah,
prequel.
Right. All the prequels now.
You could try it.
I did that film, Righting Wrongs, right? And I died in it, and so did Yuen Vu.
Yep.
And the people in Asia didn't like it, so they brought us back. And so if you go to the video, there's two endings.
Oh.
One where I die, one where I don't.
It's on the Blu-ray as well, I believe. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, she died in one of my movies, and then she came back because she played two characters. You died as the queen or whatever the white.
Oh right, the white dragon.
And then, but she was also another character in the movie, a scientist.
Yeah, I like that. That was fun. Yeah. That was one of my favorite films with you to do because I played two characters at once.
Yeah, you did a great job too. You know, they were both two totally different kind of. You were like a businesswoman. The other one very conservative.
Nice.
And the other one, she had a nice low-cut dress. It's always good to have Cynthia doing kicks and punches with a low-cut dress.
Cynthia's taking notes right now, Don. She's going to put you in a hat. She's going to put you in a low-cut dress. Right.
You know what?
You're going to have a garter around your leg.
On a horse for sure, the entire movie.
Do you guys remember that David Carradine had a hat? He had this goofy-looking hat that he had. Maybe I would wear that.
There's no hat.
Oh,
no
good.
Hat for you.
Did you ever hear the wild story about Alfred Hitchcock in The Birds when he was Tippi Hedren is in The Birds? And
he was a strange guy, director.
Her daughter is Melanie Griffith, and he had kind of, said like he was very interested in Tippi Hedren, and she was not accepting his advances.
Well, I think he was all his female leads.
So,
that's one of the things they say about him.
So he gave Melanie Griffith on her birthday a gift. She opened it up. It was a coffin. And inside the coffin was a Barbie doll that looked just like her mom.
Wow.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? Alfred Hitchcock's got kind of a sick mind.
I'm saying
it's so loud. But I mean, look at his movies. Who remembers The Birds? Everybody saw that,
Vertigo
right?
is so
reflective. He's so talented, so it's okay that he's creepy. I mean, that's...
And you're bringing up To Live and Die in L.A. Oh, my goodness. John Pankow is his partner, who at the end kind of assumes his identity, right?
Yeah.
Such
a great movie.
Great
soundtrack.
Yeah, and I remember that so long ago, right? But
Wang Chung did the soundtrack.
That scene always is in my mind.
Yeah. It's so great. Yeah. So, and you were talking about music and composers reaching out. Yeah, music is key. Music is so important to a film, as we both know. Yeah. It can make or break a film sometimes. It can change the dynamic.
Absolutely.
Beautifully shot film, beautifully acted film, but if the music is crap, then it just doesn't feel
good.
That
was the one that thinks about Sworn to Justice. I'm doing this great fight scene, and they put this music on that had monkey sounds.
No. That was Paul as the director. To me, that should have been a dark movie.
Yeah.
You don't have comedy in a dark movie. Yeah. And somebody dies that... in the opening scene. Is it your sister or something?
Yeah, my sister does.
Yes. Well, you know what? It's not a comedy after that. You don't have those kind of scenes.
No.
It is a serious movie after that. It's a drama. Yeah. It's an action drama. It's no longer... You don't...
Well, the fight scene wasn't comical.
But you know what? That's inconsistent filmmaking. That wouldn't reflect on Cynthia as an actress.
No, of course not.
It's the producer...
Of course not.
And the director taking the movie in a... different direction.
Yeah. I mean, I find that music is so important. We already have the endings music song
Fantastic.
That we're going to get the rights to and do.
Good.
Like, I mean, because I agree with you. It's when you see a film and you notice the music and how well it suits the action.
Yep.
I mean, I see that sometimes. I go, wow. Yep. You know, how often do people go, wow, that music
it's
is good
while you're
watching it.
It's supposed to enhance the scene.
Yeah.
It's supposed to enhance it.
Yeah.
And, it has to be appropriate for the scene that you're watching. You know, if you read about it, the opening of Saturday Night Fever the script was a guy carries a can of paint walking down New York City. That sounds like a boring opening, but it was to the number one song, Stayin' Alive, in the nation at the time.
Yep.
When it came out, that song was number one. And it's just John Travolta carrying a can of paint. And they show close-ups of his shoe, the paint, the wide shots.
Look at you bringing it back, too. I was thinking of Nights on Broadway this morning. So, coming
right.
over here.
Yeah. I know. Remember that? Right. That was hysterical.
Love that song.
You guys bonded.
Over over shared, that song.
But, shared love. You know, music enhances, and you guys enhanced us being on with you.
Well, thank you so much
good
for
segue,
having us.
Dismount.
Yeah.
Right?
Boom.
Go check out Black Creek. Go watch all their movies. Go buy their movies. Go on Tubi, Tubi.
They're available.
Tubi.
They're available for free.
I'll throw a link to some of the Tubi movies.
The price is right.
Yeah, and go to Preserve Dragons. Go get Preserve Dragons t-shirts and merchandise and blah, blah, blah. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Is it what's the best way to get, like, you guys, like, personally the most money? Like, because if we're throwing, like, free Tubi, right? Like, are you getting, we want, you know, residuals, that's what
no,
we'll
you know what? You know, I feel like I've been paid enough for my movies. I feel lucky for the monies that I've already made, you know, in the movie industry.
Okay.
So I appreciate it. And, you know, I like to say thank you to all the people that supported my films. Or wouldn't you? Because
absolutely,
without them,
yeah.
without them, we'd have no movies.
Right? Yeah, you know, when we were doing movies back then, it wasn't under SAG jurisdiction.
Right.
So we don't make anything from any of the films that were foreign or
great
whatever.
Point.
So
right.
I did. All mine were SAG. All my movies are SAG. So I do get good checks. So don't
John's
get,
like,
don't get
that,
SAG mad at us.
Why.
Don't get SAG
mad
at us.
No. It's not a bad thing. It's just they weren't under it. You know, now, like, you know, it is. So what I'm saying is I think I don't get too many residuals like maybe
I do
from,
and I,
know,
it's like a shock. It's like a shock. I go Kathleen, Chuck Norris is taking us out to lunch today. She goes, what do you mean? I said, oh, I got a residual from Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Even
awesome.
The
okay.
old ones I still get checks.
You still
checks.
Make a lot of amazing. Money on that?
It's not a lot of money. It's lunch.
Okay.
Well,
I didn't say we could buy a new house. Yeah. I said I could take you to lunch today.
Well, the next time we have you guys on, we'll have Richard on. Hopefully we can get him out from Australia,
too. Yeah, maybe we can bring the whole cast.
There you go. Yeah. And lunch will be on $2 late fee.
Hey, $2 lunch.
$2 lunch, exactly. Thank you, guys.
Or Chuck Norris.
Or Chuck. What? Chuck probably would.
Chuck really owes us.
Chuck who?
Yeah.
Offline, I'll tell you my fun Chuck Norris stories.
Uh-oh.
No, they're all good. They're all good.
You can't do. People are watching this live, and you can't go.
They
offline,
want,
I'm going to tell you
that's what they're
all
waiting
the great
for.
Okay.
They're waiting for the Chuck Norris,
I mean,
behind the scenes.
Hand to God, really quickly. First book I ever read cover to cover was Chuck Norris's autobiography. Right. That's the first book I ever read. Chapter book. And then I would carry that book in my back pocket everywhere I went for years. And I would go to concerts.
It was
a hardcover, but
it had a picture of Chuck sitting in a.
It's just got his face, grizzled, you know, weathered face, which I loved. And then I would go to concerts and I'd have
loved
that book
weathered
in
face.
My back pocket in between sets. I would read the book and I had women come up to me and they're like, what are you reading? And the next thing you know, spark a conversation, and that was a fun story.
Oh, that's like your puppy.
I have Chuck to thank for my puppy. but thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Well, to be continued in
thank
a very good way. Signing
great.
Off, everybody.
Hey, this is pro wrestler and actor Paul London. And when I'm not outside training, leaping into palm trees to chop down coconuts, or kneeing massive blocks of wood into splinters, fishing blindfolded, destroying blocks of ice with my fists, or breaking bricks over my head, I'm appearing on the next episode with my friends, Zach and Dustin, as we discuss the greatest 80s martial arts movie of all time, Bloodsport. Martial arts madness has officially entered the Kumite. Question for you is, what the hell is a dim mag?
Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
right. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe and give us a four... Is it five-star rating? Don't forget to subscribe and give us a five-star rating on iTunes. We really... Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a five-star rating on iTunes. If you listen to us on Spotify, that's great too. And you can find us on the internet. Don't forget to check out our website at $2LateFee.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at $2LateFeePodcast. We'll see you next time.
We did it.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.